B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're still singing this, can you believe it? Two more weeks to go of this. This is the ever last one. Here we go. Let's do it.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
Hi, Paul.
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
Doing all right.
That was a humdinger, huh?
Just the way we had it all along, right?
Wow.
Didn't we all predict 17 lead changes in the fourth quarter? And
another absolute epic.
Epic.
All-timer. Maz, you hate the cliche instant classic, but it is.
Oh, no, that's what this one was, though. Again, I hate that term, but in this game was unreal. Absolutely unreal.
Okay, we continue with the conversation. Paul, what's your lead takeaway from that game?
He really can't hate everything. I hate the term. My takeaway, and I actually just got off the phone with my brother. We were talking about this. Brady. Brady's back. You know, all the stuff during the course of the year, these are two vintage Brady playoff games where, you know, you can sit there and say, well, we can do this, we can do that, we can run the ball, we can protect him. Brady's back. When he needs to make a throw, it's there every time. Now, it wasn't flawless the whole game. He had some throws get away from him early on. I don't know what he was looking at or thinking in the end zone pick. But, man, you want to tell me needing 4 points twice on the road, not a field goal. Four. He needed a touchdown, both of those drives in the fourth quarter. And was there a doubt? It was that old feeling, right? You know, Brady's got the ball. This is what he needs. He's going to get what he needs. And that to me is my number one takeaway. That was the Brady of old in the postseason, but so especially in that fourth quarter and overtime.
It starts there. I'm just clarifying a point. It doesn't start with the line. It doesn't start with the coaching. It doesn't start with the game plan. It doesn't start with the running game. It doesn't start with the defense.
All of that is all accurate. I don't have enough great things. The offensive line is absolutely immense in these two playoff games. You're able to run the ball and protect Brady. So it's not one or the other, right? And then all of that allows you to control the clock and keep the other offense off the field. That was a huge part of the first half is Mahomes never had the ball. And it all works hand in hand with the game plan. Right? And this was one of those games that you go into the game saying, well, they're probably going to do this, this, and this. And we never get that right.
Right.
Right? We're never right about that stuff, but we were right about it. That's exactly what they did. And not only they did it, it worked. Everybody knew they were going to try to shorten the game, and they did. I mean, what was it, like 40, was it 44 minutes of time in possession, something like that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
44 to 20, and I know that's, you know, like 5 minutes of overtime added
44
in there, but
44 to 21.
Yeah, I mean, just absolute perfection with the game plan, everything. They had to play like that to win. They made a couple of mistakes. I would have thought going into the game that if the Patriots were to win, they would need some help from Kansas City.
They didn't
that's
get
not,
it.
That's yep. not really what happened.
People forget it was they were minus two on the turn.
Minus
the Patriots
two.
Were minus two on the turnovers. That doesn't happen.
Yeah. Now the Chiefs didn't play great in the first half, but they played pretty well overall in the game. And I thought Mahomes missed a couple of throws early, but he was great when he had to be as well. And I think we probably all feel like if the Chiefs had won the toss in overtime, it would have been a different story right now. But
do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I think they would have gone down and scored too, but. I don't have any problem with the rule. I like the rule the way it is. There's no need to change it. I like the fact that you need a touchdown. The Chiefs had every opportunity to come up with a stop. The Saints got the ball in overtime, and the Rams came up with a stop. I think it's fair for everybody.
Well, don't let your Patriots, don't let Allen in Florida, these guys here. You think it came down to the coin flip? Because you think
I don't think it came down.
Well, you
to
said the
coin
Chiefs
flip.
If they would have gotten the ball, you think they would have scored? So it came down to the coin flip.
Well, yeah, okay, all right. Then it came down to the coin flip.
You see what I did
there? But I don't make it out to be a lucky thing. I mean, I think the Patriots went out and converted three straight third and tens. Like, they earned it. They earned it.
Well, but if you're saying that the Chiefs would have scored two, then you're talking about it's a flip of the coin, which is fine. I mean, that's I don't think that's unfair.
I don't like the way he puts it.
But I know, because I put it through the processor to dramatize it for
right.
the Patriots fans.
That's why I don't like
upset.
The way you put it.
No, I know. It's the way we do it.
Well, listen, the Patriots cut some breaks, and this coin flip was one of them.
And again, the play with Edelman on the punt, that was another one that could have easily gone against them and not been reversed. Or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So the whole thing, like, I look at it and I say, but you typically need breaks to win. Honestly, Mahomes played the cleaner game. Mahomes played a cleaner game than Brady did. Brady could have had three picks in this game, for crying out loud. So there were a lot of things that went right for him, but, you know, to me, the thing that stuck out, Paul, was the third down conversions on that overtime drive. And in the fourth quarter, 5 for 5, Brady was. 5 for 5 for 86 yards on third down.
Yeah, I think he was 6 for 6 in the game with 6 first downs on 3rd and 7 or longer. 13 for 19 for the game, for the team. It's just incredible. I mean, it's just incredible execution. And this is why some people, like, you see, you have to run the ball. Like, no, you can run the ball when you have that. When you have the greatest quarterback who ever played, it allows you to say, okay, I can run it because even if it's 3rd and 8, we're still going to get the first down. You know, even if we run it for a yard or two. Because, I mean, their success in this game was predicated on the ball control, and that's why they ran it so much. They didn't run it all that efficiently. They ran it so much, 48 carries. That effectively shortened, I mean, what was it, 8 minutes before Mahomes even got on the field in the game. So even though you averaged less than 4 yards a carry for the game, you were able to run it so much that it shortened the game, and then Brady fills in the gaps.
What was a pivotal moment to you? Key play, key sequence? I know there's so many of them.
I'm going to give you one that I know everybody has mentioned the play, but I don't think anybody really understands the magnitude. At least maybe I'm overrating it. The Chris Hogan catch on 3rd down.
3rd and 8.
It's 3rd and long. If that's incomplete, they're more than likely going to punt. They're in their own territory. I think there was 6 and change left. I don't think Bill's going for that 4th down. So he makes a diving one-handed catch. And if you punt the ball away, you know what I thought of? And you probably won't like think of it in the same terms because you're not as psychotic like I am. But I thought back of the 2013 AFC Championship game in Denver. The Patriots, there was the game that Denver won 26-16. The Patriots scored. They went for 2. They didn't get it. It was about 5 minutes left, and Brady sort of crumbled knowing it's still a 2-possession game. But you're like, okay, this is Peyton Manning. Sometimes he gets tight in these situations, and he just put together a drive that was flawless. And they just went first down. And they ended up running the whole clock out. Patriots never got the ball back. They ended up kneeling. That's what was in the back of my mind, like, let's not give it back to a red-hot offense here just needing to get a couple of first downs to end this game. That's what I was thinking on that play when they went to review. I think they got it right. I think that last year we may have had a different talk, but that he had control of the ball. The ground did not allow him to catch the ball. I thought he had control of that. That was an enormous catch in a ridiculously difficult play. And this game was so amazing, that's like a length on the list of superlatives. But I just thought that play was unbelievable catch by Chris Hogan.
If you were to go through and list the top 10 plays of the game,
you probably wouldn't get to that.
No, that's it's towards 10 if it's in there at all.
It's up there, though. I definitely.
But do they win without? Like, I really think that was one of those pivotal plays that
they were down 4.
Win or lose, they were down 4.
So either Kansas City's, you could stop them, but the way things were going, you know, you're giving up 7 or 3. If you give up 3, you're needing to score a touchdown just to tie. And more than that, you know, it's a 2-possession game and it's a ball game.
Yeah, they're probably giving up 7. I mean, let's be honest,
that's
really.
That's the way the game was going.
The teams were combined 7 of 8, I think, in the red zone for touchdowns. The only one that wasn't was the Brady pick. That was it. I mean, it's not like they missed a field goal down there.
Right.
7 of 8, the teams in the red zone.
Okay, so we're talking about all sorts of, we didn't get to this stuff yesterday, Paul, so we're just looking at some bigger picture things, league things. Do you want PI to be reviewable? Do you want the overtime format change? You just said no. Should things like roughing be reviewable? Should the Chiefs have been able to throw a challenge flag on that horrible roughing call on Brady? What interests you about this Super Bowl matchup? Do you think the league is the Patriots being back good for the league? Are the Rams being in there good for the league? What among those?
I think I'll start at the last part. I think the Patriots are great for business. I mean, you look at the numbers. I think the entire country will be watching, rooting for the Patriots to lose. So I think that's great for business. And the league is probably thrilled that the Patriots are involved. I don't know how important it is for the Rams. I think I heard you guys talking a little bit about the crowd. I don't expect there to be very many Rams fans there, the Rams. I don't think there are very many of them. You know, look what Dallas completely dominated the Coliseum a couple of weeks ago when they played there. That was at least half Cowboys fans. I wouldn't expect there to be much. In terms of rule changes, I said overtime, I kind of liked the change they made. I think that was fair. Penalties, what if we added a challenge, like one penalty challenge per game? So that sort of eliminates the, you know, the mockery of the game kind of thing, like where every call is subject to review. And I think that coaches would be pretty judicious. I can't say judicious.
Judicious.
Thank you. It's like Max Scherzer. I can't say Max Scherzer either. I have a speech impediment. But they wouldn't just challenge everything. I don't think it would really bog down the game. But if you had a play like that Saints one, obviously Sean Payton would be able to try to rectify that. Roughing the pass. I mean, it can be anything you want. You can choose. So if you are dumb enough to use a, you know, like
in the first half,
he wasn't, you know, it was a 5-yard penalty in the first quarter. I mean, no, you wouldn't do that. But you know, if it's a 50-yard penalty on a pass interference that, you know, you're pretty sure that didn't happen, might be worth a flag. But you get one.
I know coaches that would challenge a 5-yard penalty in the first quarter.
Of course they would.
Oh, yeah. Jackasses.
All right, so we continue. Let's have calls for Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, in our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. We continue here on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
I have a ton of respect for Sean. I think he's done a great job in the 2 years he's been with the Rams. His teams have performed on an extremely high level. They're very consistent. They're well coached. He has a great scheme. The players execute it on a consistent basis at a very high level. He's got a great coaching staff, offense, defense, special teams. They're good in every area. Coach Fossil, Coach Phillips, great staff. Coach Fish, you know, I know is also an important part of that staff. So the coaching, the playing, the consistency. Coach McVay has done a tremendous job out there.
Before I go to the phones, Paul, what do you think of Sean McVay and the Rams? Do you think they're better than the Patriots?
No. I do think they're a very good team, and I do like McVay. I'm sort of falling into that trap of him. I think he's more than just sort of an offensive genius. You know, I know that's sort of the way everybody looks at him. I think he has a good command. I think he's a pretty good young head coach. Now, we'll see if he has staying power. And I do like Jared Goff. I don't love him, but I do think he's pretty good. And I've been impressed with the way that they've played. They've played much better defense in the playoffs than they did during the regular season. Now, part of that is that they've had both Tlaib and Peters together. When those two guys have been on the field together, they've been a little bit better. But I still see some weaknesses with Peters. I think he's a guy you can exploit. LaMarcus Joyner is definitely a guy you can exploit. That was a horrific play that he made on the deep ball that got New Orleans down there.
Yeah, against Ginn?
Yeah. I mean, that should have been an interception. So I do think that's a guy Brady might target a little bit and see if he can get. Peters is over-aggressive. Joyner, I don't think, makes great plays on the ball. But how can you not have a ton of respect for the person? Like, you know, Aaron Donald. I mean, is there a more dominant player in the league right now on defense than Aaron Donald? So I think they're good. I don't know if they're going to be ready for this. That's my 2 weeks out sort of, you know, long view of this. I think the Patriots have all the big game experience. Bill will tell us for a week and a half that doesn't matter, but I think it does.
Okay. So Perillo in studio, your thoughts on everything. Let's get right back to it. Sandy in North Andover. Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I wanted to call. I was going to call about a couple things, but I know I'm going to make it quick. One of the things is the coin toss thing. Now, the Patriots held them to the whole first half to not scoring. So my point is when they, at the end there, they tied the game, the Patriots. So they stopped them again. So if the Chiefs did get the coin toss, why do you think that they would win the game, or whoever's been calling on the phone and saying that? Well, why would they win it?
I'm Sandy, when did they stop them? You said they stopped them again. The last time they stopped them was the first half.
No, the first half I said they stopped them from scoring, and then the Patriots, the second half at the end, they managed to tie the game up.
Yeah, but they didn't,
stop them.
The first half is what I mean is they stopped them from scoring at all.
I understand.
In the first half, but in the second half, they didn't stop them. They scored 31 points.
Right, I get it, but then they tied it up. The Patriots managed to tie it up.
Is she not understanding?
The Patriots didn't tie it up. The Patriots gave up the field goal that tied it up. The Chiefs tied the game.
The Chiefs got the ball, Sandy,
with 8 seconds left.
With 39 seconds left and went 48 yards in like 20 seconds and tied the game. What are you talking about?
If they had another 15 seconds, my guess is we'd be singing another different tune.
They went 48 yards in 16 seconds.
That's what it is. That's what
they
it
scored 24 points in the fourth quarter, 31 in 12 minutes in the second half.
You won the coin toss again. It was a good break. Just take it. You deserve to win. No one's saying you didn't deserve to win, but you got a nice break.
And this is going to sound crazy.
God!
I think what they did defensively was pretty good. I think the Patriots were pretty good defensively in this game. Not great, because you can't just overlook the fact that they scored 31 points.
But by that point in the game,
is that 12 minutes
of possession, they scored 31 points in the second half.
But you came up with some stops, right? They made them punt four or five times. They played pretty well defensively.
Early. But by that point in the game, no one was stopping anyone.
Right. They figured it out.
Okay. Coin flip was huge, and you won it again. So just that happened.
It really is astonishing how much Patriots fans can't even admit that they caught a couple of breaks. You need them every year. Just get over it.
Jim in Manchester. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, the Pats definitely caught some breaks. So on the overtime thing, I don't think the rule needs to change. But if it did, to something that you were talking about, Felger, it wouldn't be unfair. So I really wouldn't have an issue with it. Reviewing penalties, I don't know. That's tricky. I do have a comment on the D Ford thing. If you and Maz, you kind of talked about this, but the side, if you look at the broadcast, I think the side judge was going to try to say something to D Ford or to somebody, but then Brady started barking his snap count and he stopped, and then the hand goes right in the pocket, and he is ready to throw that flag, and he did as soon as it was snapped.
It's just completely inexcusable.
Yeah, so look, my guess is that he was waiting for Ford to move and then was knocked, you know what I mean? Like, he was anticipating a movement. It could be that he was going to say something. I'm just telling you, his hand was there. It went up right away. As soon as the ball was snapped, he threw the flag up in the air right away.
The caller mentioned that overtime tweak where he wouldn't, just take away the sudden death, just play a 10-minute period. I know Bill wanted to do that in the past. Did he actually propose that to the competition committee? Do you remember? Is that just something he talked about?
I don't remember. I don't remember the specifics of that, so I'm going to plead ignorant. But I don't like the idea of a 10-minute thing. I mean, if you're going to do it, it needs to be at least a full 15.
Why?
Because 10 minutes can be a possession.
Well,
all of a sudden you're playing the clock. If you get the ball first, it's an enormous advantage.
Oh, no question. But any bigger than it is now? No, it's a little less than one. I don't mind the coin toss meaning something. So you get an advantage by winning the coin toss. That's fine. I just don't think it should be game over. And Bill's point is that you just get all those game situations, more strategy involved for the exact thing that you just said.
I don't love 10 minutes, but if it's 15, then I'm fine because that gives teams the opportunity to possess the ball.
I'm actually willing to go 7.5. Like, I don't mind that it's short.
I mean, they're playing 10 in the regular season.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, and I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate that the change to 10 in the regular season, I hate. I don't have any problem with the you need a touchdown to win, though.
We've got Michael and
I'm fine with that.
Mike and Methuen. Hi, Mike.
Hey, two things. I'll be really quick. Number one, regarding the PI in the first game, I got a great idea. Why don't the referees just all get together and look at the jumbotron that 70,000 other people can see and say, hey, we got to throw a flag on that.
Can't
and number two, the overtime. Paul, you were just talking about time of possession. Why don't they give time limits? Like, you kick the ball off. Team A gets 3 minutes and a timeout to see what they can do with the ball. If they get down to the 15-yard line with
that's
like 10
more what you want,
left.
Michael.
Well,
strategy.
Well, strategy, but that's not putting a time limit on it. You got to figure out whether to use your timeouts or not. If you're on offense, whether to bleed clock or go for points. It's all those game strategies that are so important in the final 2 minutes of regulation. You just duplicate it in overtime.
It's 10 minutes. Both teams get the ball for 5 minutes. Who can score more points?
No, that's not what I want. If the offense can hold it for 7 or 8 minutes, then they get the benefit of that. They do. So there's some benefit to win that coin toss. It's just not the end of the ball game.
Yeah, you know how I feel. I don't mind it the way it is. Stop somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I look at it. The Saints, like I said, the Saints got the ball and they didn't win.
Dan and Quincy. Hi, Daniel.
I don't want to get bogged down in the overtime, but when they change the rule, I think each team should get a touch the ball. Field goal or touchdown. You gotta give the other team a shot. And I said, and I'm a Patriots fan. I'm glad it worked out the way it worked out, so you can't accuse me of that. But anyways... So, on the defense played out of their minds. Okay, now that Brady pick, the one in the end zone, I call it they chase an invisible points because that's at least three they lost there, and the defense got a 3-and-out right after that. That was unbelievably huge. And so they chased that 3 points, and then they get down to the 25. They go for it on fourth down. Why didn't Belichick kick a field goal?
So on the Burkhead snap.
Yeah, I would argue that they got seven back on the Dorsett touchdown that the Chiefs gave him. Because
and Belichick,
Andy Reid made a horrific timeout.
Belichick,
on that possession.
Belichick even said that was, oh, he called it something.
Like, he called it, I think he said gift.
Like gift points or found points.
He had a phrase for it. I do remember, but the Patriots had no intentions of trying to score
on
that drive.
They
were bleeding clock, and they were content to let it run down. And Reed called the timeout with a minute and change left. And I said, you haven't stopped them on a third down yet. What are you thinking that you're going to do here? And to just sort of assume that they weren't going to get the first down was foolishness on Reed's part. And I know that everybody likes to use him as a punching bag. I don't think that he was the reason why they lost. I don't think all the stuff that we talked about last week really didn't come into play. He was sort of a non-factor, but that was a bad game management at the end of the first half. Let the Patriots run the clock out. You have the explosive offense. You don't need all the time. So stop them on the third down, and then you call timeout
right,
and make the punt.
Right.
You can go down and get three. Don't get greedy. You don't need extra time because you have that explosiveness.
They get a big gain from White there, if I remember right.
Screen pass, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here comes Murray or a dump off or something. Here comes a Murray on an update, and we're right back with Perillo.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the 45, ball on the near hashes. Brady takes the snap against a three-man rush. He stands in. He throws down the middle for Hogan. Reaches out with a left hand, and he snags it. A diving catch at the Kansas City 44. And a first down, Patriots.
There it is again. Dorsett earlier with the touchdown. You forget about Hogan. And it's the catch with the one hand underneath. And this is
the Patriots trying to hurry to the line to snap it. Kansas City and Andy Reid throw the challenge flag.
Did he keep the left hand under?
Chris Hogan with some movement of the ball, but he came
His
up.
Reaction means he caught it.
That's a beautiful play. The one from the field stands his call. It's a catch.
So the Chiefs
live the fight. Yep.
Lose the timeout. A 6:06 mark on the challenge. What a catch by Chris Hogan.
Pivotal plays in the game. Paul Perillo says maybe that one's not being talked about enough. 3rd and 8, Patriots down 4. I don't have in front of me, 6.5 minutes left?
Yeah, and it's 6:25, and I'm actually looking at it. They were a little bit closer to midfield than I thought.
45.
I thought it was the 45. I thought it was the 35.
Paul, we did this yesterday.
There is a chance they could have gone for it.
I mentioned the exact same thing to these guys yesterday. You know, does Bill go for it there on 4th down?
He may have. And again, this is another conversation I had with my brother before. He said that he thought they would have because he thought it was closer. I said it was closer to the 35, so... Rich was right again. He's been right all along.
But all those plays, those big, you know, money on the table kind of plays, they just still so deadly in those situations.
Right, because you don't want to have to go for a 4th and 8 with your season on the line. And that's all the more reason if it's 4th and 8 and you don't get it, now it's probably definitely game because the field position is going to dictate they can do whatever they want here. They don't really have to risk turning it over because if we turn it over, it's like a punt. You know, we're in their side of the field. You know, you can be aggressive. You don't have to just run the ball. Whereas if you punt and you get pinned down inside your 20, you're probably looking at, oh, let's see if we can run out of here and play it safe. And you're more apt to get stopped. Taking over at the Patriots 45, you're almost certainly going to get points. And like Tony said, you're probably going to get 7 and put the game away.
I mean, it really, when you look at the big picture, what is equally stunning about it is that in week 15 in Pittsburgh, they were down there and they didn't score. They couldn't execute then. Then they play a couple of bum teams, and we think, well, big deal. Then they beat the Chargers, and we think they're at home. Like, this thing, it's almost like it came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, they get them into the fourth quarter in overtime on 3rd down and 10, 3 times in a row, and it's money every single time. It's really the turnaround to me when you look at beyond just this one game. The turnaround to go from where they were in Miami and Pittsburgh to where they are now, absolutely positively stunning.
We continue with your thoughts, Mark in Columbia. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I was thinking on the Dee Ford offsides. It's not as important as everybody makes it out to be. At the snap of the ball, Brady sees the flag fly out.
So how does he know it's on them?
I think he recognized the fact that the flag came so quickly
It could have been an alignment issue, which is what Tony Romo originally thought.
And then why did he only throw it 1 yard down the field?
Right.
He hit Gronkowski. It was right at the line of scrimmage.
And it wasn't a bad throw. It's not like he forced one into double coverage. He hit the receiver in the hands.
Patriots fans can't even accept that they got a...
Right. Mahomes got the Patriots to jump later in the game. You know what he did? He threw it 30 yards down the field and completed it.
They
right.
can't even... They somehow are sensitive to the
fact... Which, by the way...
To saying that the Chiefs offsides helped you in that game.
Another one of those plays that
now
isn't
Brady
getting enough talk.
Now Brady saw it. He knew what was happening.
No, because again, they know everything. I mean, everything is designed. It's all part of the plan.
You people are cute. Again, adorable. Go ahead.
Again, that happens when someone jumps. When you get somebody to move, you see it, and then you take advantage of that opportunity knowing you have a free play.
Good point,
there was
Paul.
No movement.
Right.
It was an alignment issue. There's no way. Only Tom knows for sure. I shouldn't say there's no way.
No,
the guy is from another planet.
Don't worry about the blowback, Paul. He didn't see it.
No, but I have such immense respect for him. I have no idea. But I find it awfully hard to believe that he's looking to the right and knew that a guy was lined up to the left, slightly offside, and that the flag came out to the top of the screen when he's looking at the bottom. And like Tony said, threw the ball short right to his tight end. He didn't force it into double coverage in the end zone. You can make that argument. Oh, well, that was really an uncharacteristic throw by Brady. He had to know.
No, Paul makes a good point. There was no movement.
There was no movement.
It's not like the quarterback, you know, with his cadence gave a hard snap count. All of a sudden, a guy jumped over the line. There was none of that on this play.
He's all seeing. He's like,
they caught a break.
They didn't get any breaks in this game.
Little plays that you think about later and you realize the ramifications.
Oh, my God.
If the Patriots had lost this game in overtime, how would you think back to that play that Tony's talking about that Patrick Mahomes recognized that he had a free play and hit, I think it was DeMarcus Robinson.
It was.
For you know, a big, like a 25-yard gain.
27.
It was 27.
And that was to set up the tying field goals.
Right. Correct.
But you know what was huge about that? The Patriots jumped offside, gave him the free play. You know what that did?
Stop the clock.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now that they put the Patriots in a position where they could lose in regulation. Otherwise, they would have had to run to the line. They would have had plenty of time. But they could have run to the line, spiked the ball, and they would have had to kick the field goal. Instead, now the ball is now in a danger zone where you can throw the ball into the end zone, and the clock stopped. It gave them plenty of time to huddle up, get a plan, figure out what they wanted to do, and take a shot. I actually think they should have taken two shots.
Mahomes was impressive on that play. I went back and watched it a little while ago. Again, I was looking at part of the end of the game. And while people are scrambling for the Chiefs, he's telling everybody they called a penalty. The clock stopped.
Right.
They called a penalty. And then like a lineman walks over and he yells at his lineman, just go over there. Like he was in command of the situation. He was impressive during that sequence.
Boy, but did I think that was where Reed... I thought that's where Reed was going to show up. 16 seconds, field goal range, no timeouts, still in the range where you can take a shot or two. And I said to myself, oh, he's going to get sacked. He's going to leave the ball over the middle of the field. They're not being able to snap it in time. They're going to panic and try and bring the field goal unit out instead of spiking the ball. Like I felt it. Or the guy's going to come out and shank it. You know, I felt like...
I thought he was going to miss.
But I mean, that's not a Reed. I mean, if the last thing happened, that's not on Reed.
Depends.
Now, come on.
Well, I mean, if you're racing the field goal, I mean, if the field goal team isn't ready to go...
Happens all the time. Make the kick. Billy Cundiff missed the kick. John Harbaugh didn't make him miss the kick.
Oh, no, the whole sideline operation was bad. Yeah. They're out there late.
Yeah, it's a five-yard field goal. Make the kick.
I'll tell you what, you could have given Butker all day, and I was convinced he was going to miss it.
He
right.
still, no,
and he Cundiff, it right down the middle.
Cundiff still should have made it, but you don't think that... Oh, I
no,
firmly believe that
I don't.
There are teams that are discombobulated, that run out late, they're not ready to go, and that impacts the whole thing and sort of creeps into the kicker. Absolutely. It absolutely happened on that Cundiff thing, 100%. Because I think the Patriots were cheating on that one, too, where they were screwing with the down markers. They told them it was third down, not fourth down. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Paul, I'm sorry. I thought you were... You,
That's a
I'm
different
sorry.
Argument.
I'm sorry. A long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
When you look at the Rams' defensive line, specifically from a pass rush perspective, what stands out to you about the challenge of blocking them?
Yeah, really good. Got great inside power and quickness, and got great edge rush. Got a lot of good players, a lot of guys that are hard to block. coach, and he does a does a great job with all those guys. They have a variety of players, and they're all a problem.
That's Bill today on the Rams again. Computer booting up. You just finished a cup of coffee before, right? What was that other answer you had for me, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, I got this one here. Jimmy, if you want to pull me up, hold on. This was, you know, he was asked if playing the Rams this time holds any significance, considering that his first with the Pats also came against the Rams.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about what happened 5, 10, 20 years ago, trying to get ready for this team. I don't think a lot of relevance in any of those games.
Done either, with that cup of coffee.
He either knocked the coffee cup over, or he was doing the conference call in the calf, and he was just putting the coffee cup in the sink.
Oh, no, he's putting it in the sink. Yeah. I mean, screw you guys. I get stuff to do. I got to wash the dishes here while I'm talking to you.
Or type. Or or boot up the computer.
It's time for me to go, yes.
And Paul, clean this for me.
No, really, maybe it was his turn to unload the dishwasher.
You PFW jackass, get this stuff cleaned up.
Where's Andy? Have him take care of this.
it's like the scene from the program. when the coach comes in and knocks over the Gatorade, clean that up.
He believes in multitasking, clearly. The owner comes in, he's eating his fruit salad.
Yeah, computer's logging in. Paul, give me an early look at the Rams here, at this game. You worry about whether they're going to be ready or not.
Yeah, I just, you know, this is their first time, really. I mean, I was impressed with them coming away with a win. I know it was tainted with that bad call at the end, and it was a horrific call. But, you know, that said, they go down 13-0 early in the game, and that place was deafening. And I thought they showed a lot of poise. I am impressed with their personnel. I think Donald will be a key. We'll talk a lot about that interior defense with Donald and Sue. The Patriots are going to obviously have to double team him like everybody else does. But I do think you can pick on Marcus Peters. Tony and I just disagreed about him. I think he's a guy who takes a lot of chances. He might make a play, but he's going to give up a lot of plays. And I feel like if you're a disciplined team the way the Patriots are, you can find ways to bait him into making mistakes. I think that'll be big. The Patriots offense to me is back. And I have a lot of fit. They'll be in the 30s when that game is over at minimum.
How do you feel about Rams' balanced attack and how much they want to run and how much they do run?
I think they run a little bit too much. I think you have to score in these games, and I don't think you can afford to waste possessions. So early in the game, I thought the other day, Todd Gurley wasn't ready. And I think that McVay recognized that, and that's what he did. I mean, I know that it's partly health-related, but I think he recognized the other guy's playing better. And it's sort of proof of what we always talk about. You need to run to establish some balance, but it doesn't have to be this 5-star first-round pick. It can be fat C.J. Anderson, who looks like me.
40.
I'll tell you, though, that would help the Patriots if it's Anderson and not Gurley, because Gurley can catch it.
Gurley's a much better receiver.
To me, that's what Gurley would scare me in this game, is their ability to throw to him. Like, now there's another guy to cover there.
Two touchdown catches for Williams, right?
I mean, I'm waiting for Gasper on Friday, who told me Damian Williams wasn't going to be an issue because he's not like Kareem Hunt.
He should have had 4 touchdowns.
5 catches, 66 yards. I mean, they couldn't cover him either. Like, so this is the Gurley part of it to me. That's what I worry about with Gurley.
Tony has beef with Chris Gaddy. I can't wait for Gasper.
I know. He's been calling him out all week.
Oh, no, I'm waiting for him.
Poor Chris.
I'm waiting for you, Gasper.
But you are a believer in McVay.
Yeah, I think this is a good team, and I think they have, we call the Patriots, we always talk about it, the program. You know, we talked about Harbaugh with the Rams. I think they have a good program developing with the Rams. I think they're going to be around for a while. Now, they're going to have some big money issues to talk about. We'll see if their cap guys know what they're doing and they can pull the right strings, because you have to know which guys you can let go. You can't keep them all. You just have to figure out which guys you can let go and then bring them
back.
Those
aren't cap guys. Those are football guys.
Right. But so you have to make the right decisions. Right. I think Kevin Colbert consistently has done that in Pittsburgh. Obviously, Bill has done a great job of that here. So you don't the cap doesn't have to prevent you from doing anything. You just have to understand football and know the guys that you need to keep as part. Guys that are more important than their salary would indicate. Let's put it that way.
Well, and we know that when they're reviewing special teams footage or, film from the week, Bill's going to take his pants off when the punter gets on the field like he did last year.
He's legit, though. That throw was underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, he set back 12 yards. What's a punter set back? That was
50. Yeah.
15 yards back. It's a 4th and 8th?
No, he can throw.
And he slung it out there.
How about
the punting.
Was it Shields? Was it Shields that caught?
Yeah, Shields. Yeah, he made a good move.
How about his poise? Yeah. Just, okay, I'm all right. I'm going to come back inside the sticks, but I got it. I'm going to get it. I'll make a guy miss. That play was nails, too. There was a lot of good stuff over the weekend. It's too bad the officials in both games for all four teams, I thought, were terrible.
I mean, so I don't know
missed calls on both teams in both games.
I don't know how far, you know, you want to get ahead to the Rams. We got plenty of time until they do that. But that the Patriots offensive line against the Rams defensive line, that's going to be a bloodbath.
Great matchup.
That is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be an absolute freaking war in there. Because, look, I know Sue is a complete knucklehead. I just have a hard time believing that he's not going to show up for this game.
So what's the over-under? 56, 57?
Is it that high?
I thought it was. I thought it was all...
I'll find out.
Along the same lines of
these,
but...
I mean, initially, I like the under if it's that
me
high.
Too, because I think LA's been playing these games a little close to the vest.
Yes. 57.5.
57.5. Yeah, they want to run.
I would never. I don't really bet unders. I like, you know, cause I don't like watching games hoping teams don't score.
Right.
But I would take the under on that. Initial thoughts, but you know, long way to go.
I think that's been the trend with the Rams for sure. Most important player this week for the Patriots, not Brady.
Can we stay with the offensive line?
Of course,
because I think that's been the MVP of the team in general in these two games. They've been just rock solid, perfect. I mean, pass protection, run blocking, disciplined. I mean, did anybody think that they would go to Arrowhead and not get a false start penalty based on what we've seen this year on the road? I mean, Pittsburgh, it was. I think it was 8 pre-snap penalties in Pittsburgh.
Brown
like
and Cannon, all that T.J. Watt, rather, all he had to do on that right side was go, huh, and it was a false start or a hold every single time.
None in a place, but in a place that really prides itself on jarring false start penalties. So Dante Scarnecchia, again, the guy is just amazing. He's another one of the unsung heroes that doesn't get a lot of accolades, but that offensive line has been absolutely perfect, and it's going to need to be because you guys are right. The Rams' defensive line, they're as physical and tough as any they've faced.
When you mentioned the false starts of it, just made me think again the first quarter in New Orleans there last week, how unprepared I felt the Rams were for the crowd noise.
They couldn't handle it.
How discombobulated they were. Goff with his helmet and, you know, running up and down the line of scrimmage.
Did you see him go all the way out to the wideout
at
one point?
Yes, absolutely. And McVay and he, and I felt like, boy, did you guys prepare for this? Why don't you blast the Bon Jovi in your practice bubble? Like, you know, right. I mean, aren't you ready for that? And they weren't. And so I just sort of wonder, that's why you said, the first thing you said about the Rams, you wonder if you're going to be ready for this.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I think. That's a good point. I wasn't even really thinking specifically of that.
It's the same sort of little thing, game operation.
Little
thing.
Game. Do you remember the Super Bowl, Meadowlands one with the Broncos?
When yes.
They took the safety right off the go. They weren't prepared for, like, noise. Like, it's a Super Bowl. I mean, it's rabid. I don't care if it's outdoors. I don't care if you're not necessarily on the road. You had to expect there to be more excitement in the stands than for a normal game. It's the Super Bowl. So, yeah, those little things definitely matter.
Okay, Paulie, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right. Pinch hit anytime.
Okay, when do you head down to Hotlanta?
On Sunday.
Okay, we'll see you down there.
Be down. Yeah, I'll be down next week.
Regular Wednesday sit. You see the big boy, Greg Bedard, late traveling back from Kansas City, so Perillo pinch hit today. We'll have Bedard tomorrow, 2 to 4. We'll see Perillo down in Atlanta. Okay, so that's the deal there.
See you, Pablo.
Okay, see ya. We got an hour to go here of your reaction. It is a ball gag Tuesday, so we can get back to that as well if you really need to. McCone, he ball gagged me. I lived up to it. I lived up to my end of the bargain. All this stuff is on our social media accounts if you want to see it. The simulcast has been afraid to show the footage like it's some sort of graphic, dark, sexual S&M thing. I'm in a ball gag and a robe, and then at the very end, I'm in my Packers underwear. It's really not a thong or anything. It's just boxers. It's really not that graphic, but they're scared as crap on TV about it or something. Like, I don't know. But anyway, so Ball Gag Tuesday.
Scared the hell out of me.
Ball Gag Tuesday continues. Your calls right to them. 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.